Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Welcome in to Takeology. With our Christmas theme this morning, you got your three boys in the lab so you can do the cooking. We're having the mass energy. We don't have our rock intro, but tis the season to be jolly. Matt, how are you doing?
Doing good. It's kind of bittersweet. The season's coming to an end here. I don't really want it to end, so... We'll really cherish these last few weeks, man. It's always sad when football ends.
What, 4 weeks left in regular season and then playoffs, right?
Yeah.
What a time, dude. It's been good, though. Been a good year. Had some good games this weekend, even though there were six teams on a bye. Who would have thought? You know, I thought it was going to be kind of some bad games, you know, the teams that were out, even though the Chiefs were playing, apparently, I guess. Somehow they pulled out another win. Gotta love it there.
Dude, I'm not even going to get started with you because we continue to win. And there's still criticism against us when we continue to win. We literally locked the division up now. We're with Buffalo losing, we're pretty much locked in the one seed as long as we go 3-1. And they're going to have to – I mean, they have a pretty easy schedule after this upcoming game, which is the Lions. So we'll see, but it's looking pretty good as a Chiefs fan. Arrowhead Invitational looks like it's going to be going again.
Barely cracked through in these wins, though. So I don't understand, man. But you know what? I cannot take away that you're 12-1. At the end of the day, it is what it is. It is what it is. We will have a special guest joining us today, so I'm super excited about that. We may talk about the Chiefs a little bit later with our special guest. We may discuss some things. He's a big fan, so we'll have a conversation there. But you know what we got to do today? We got to jump into our lab report for the week, and then we've got some Week 14 recap. You know, we've been hitting about one pod a week. Man, I tell you, we've been behind the bar here, but we'll see if we can get two this week. Who knows? Who knows? But we'll start off with Mr. Derek Carr. He will be out for the remainder of the season, I believe is what it is. He was diving for a first down, Derek Carr, for fighting for his team, and then hurts his hand because he falls on it. You know, kind of like an old lady landing on her hand as she falls. Derek Carr is out for the season. Now, do you think – I mean, here we are. But what do you think, Spencer Rattler's back up, Matt?
I really don't know. He wasn't the backup for last night. And when he was the starting quarterback for them, what was that, three or four games? He did not look great, so – we'll just have to see. They have two young quarterbacks on the roster, so we'll see who starts. All I can say is that basically downgrades everybody on that offense besides Kamara. Kamara is going to get all the work, so he should still be fine, but he's not going to have any huge games like he was having earlier in the season. But as far as Derek Carr goes, he had no business trying to hurdle in that situation. Really, yeah. No player, unless it's just one-on-one in open field, no player should really hurdle, in my opinion. Because if there's another defender near you, he is going to light you up if you're just flying in the air. So the official report on it was that he was weak to weak. But I really don't know how he can be weak to weak with a fractured hand. So we'll just kind of have to monitor that, because that seems like it's going to be a long-term injury and not just a week to week thing.
Yeah. And Derek Carr's a little old, you know, he's getting up there in age. So in terms of quarterback, I just don't think he'll be back for the remainder of the season. They're not in a position for playoffs either. So it's like, why kind of risk him for next season? And it gives time for it's Spencer Rattler. Who's the other guy back there in the backfield for the Saints?
He played last night. I'll check on that.
Yeah, my statistician, Mr. Matt McDonald here. Okay, yeah, pull that up for me. And I'll jump on the next guy here. Jonathan Brooks, okay, is out. He re-tore his ACL. Number one, you hate to see it for a rookie. The guy just kind of started to come back from it, had a long recovery, and really essentially he's just going to have to redo that recovery, which just sucks for anybody. But, you know, you hate to see it. I wanted to say this as we talked about Jonathan Brooks. The Panthers are looking like they're going to be a decent team in the future. Adam Thielen popping off all of a sudden. I mean, the old man Adam Thielen. And Bryce Young is looking decent, right? They almost beat Philly this weekend. So that was kind of nuts. I did want to also add, Matt McDonald made a trade later on in the season. He sent Joe Mixon and Chuba Hubbard for Aaron Jones and Nico Collins. Is that correct? And, you know, at first this trade was like, man, this is going to look good. Jonathan Brooks comes back. But really, you've just lost this trade at this point, I think, to be honest. I mean, how do you feel about it from the guy who sent him away, you know?
So if you lay the situation down, I needed receiver help. So I have an ample amount of running backs. I still do. I have James Conner, Aaron Jones, and Jahmyr Gibbs. So Chuba was kind of just sitting on my bench doing nothing. And don't get me wrong, I definitely sent too much in that trade. I did not want to send Chuba in the first place, but it was the only thing that could make the trade go through. And when I made the trade, I traded Jalen Waddle, and he's really been a bust this year, so I feel good about that. But yeah. I did not see Joe Mixon when I traded him. He was coming off that high ankle sprain, and he missed 2 or 3 weeks after I traded him. So I got what I thought I was getting, a healthy Nico Collins for a hurt Joe Mixon. Turns out Joe Mixon and Nico were hurt about the same time. So in the end, I would say he won the trade. But I am happy to have Nico in my lineup for these playoffs because I am so strong at running back. But just looking back at it, sending Chuba was way too much. I thought the rookie would come in there and have a bigger impact than he did. But it took him forever to progress through his injury, and then he finally comes back, and now he's hurt his ACL again. So it looks like if you have Chuba, he's going to be a good running back for going into these playoffs. And you're right, the Panthers nearly beat the Chiefs as well. They are playing some good football. Adam Thielen, he defies all odds when it comes to age. He is playing great. You saw this last year, Adam Thielen, no one saw him coming, and then he had a fantastic start of the year. So he's obviously Bryce Young's favorite target on this offense. So I think Adam Thielen and Chuba are going to be fantastic for the rest of the year. And you probably got them both. You probably got Chuba off waivers, or you drafted him late in the draft. And then Adam Thielen, he was definitely off waivers. So if you got either one of them, you're pretty happy right now.
Yeah. I also want to say Raheem Blackshear, which was the next guy in the running back room for the Panthers. He also got hurt. So really, dude, this backfield is Chuba Hubbard. And he's done so good, and it's kind of crazy to me, but he's done so well with the amount of snaps he has, and he gets a ton. So just off volume, this guy is a great guy to have on your team. You mentioned I just lost the name. Who'd you just mention with Chuba Hubbard just a minute ago?
Jonathan, I thought that was good.
I know Adam Thielen. I think. Oh. Do you think he's a good waiver wire add?
Oh yeah. If he's not added already, I would for sure add him. Now he's not going to be amazing in half PPR, but if you're in a full PPR league, he's going to be a great player the rest of the season. He's obviously Bryce Young's favorite target, and I mean, he did it last week against a Philadelphia defense that was shutting down everybody. Yeah. And he looked unguardable. And the week before, he should have had two touchdowns. He had one, dropped the other. But if he's going to be hyper-targeted like this in this offense, I think he's going to be a great player. He's at least playable in your flex. If this success continues, I think he can be a wide receiver too on your team. So I would for sure pick him up.
Yeah, and I don't even know the rest of their schedule for the year. I don't think it's too crazy. I know they play Dallas next week. And, I mean, they've looked better. But right now the Bengals are tearing them up, you know. So I'm sure Bryce Young can at least get a pass or two to Adam Thielen. So it could be definitely a good waiver wire add.
Yeah.
On top, go ahead. Sorry.
They have the Cardinals, Buccaneers, and Falcons. So,
oh, dude.
I mean, after the Cowboys, that's a pretty easy schedule. Now, the Cardinals' defense has looked better, but the Buccaneers and Falcons' defenses are pretty bad. So, I mean, especially Chuba, he's going to be great rest of the year. But I think Adam Thielen's kind of a sneaky guy that I kind of see him in the same sense as Juwan Jennings. Juwan, yep. He had a great week this week, and I think he's just going to continue that success. Especially with how bad Debo Samuel has been, which that's a whole nother topic. He's been dreadful. So he's borderline droppable. I mean, he has played terrible. So I think he's a guy that's going to be very valuable for whatever team picks him up.
I respect it. That is true. Debo is definitely droppable, which is just weird to say, but it is what it is. All right. So next on the list here is Mr. Bucky Irving. Rashad White, we'll talk about him a little bit later. Kind of had a decent game because of it. Something to monitor. I don't know how serious it is, but that's something we'll want to watch out for. Then we've got George Pickens, a second-degree hamstring sprain or something like that. I can't stand the guy because I started him. Adam Schefter, if you listen to this podcast, he doesn't. But you know what? Screw you, because you said he was going to play and he didn't. And then we've got Isaac Garrido. Okay, I don't know who the next guy is on the San Francisco 49ers lineup in terms of running back, but if they're all hurt. So whoever's available, there's somebody you can use. So go find them. Go pick them up on the waiver, especially if Garrido's out for an extended period of time. I'm not sure how long or what the report is, but he did lead the game. I think halftime, was it?
Yeah, it's he left in the early second and then came back. But the backup is Patrick Taylor, and don't get me wrong, he's not great, but any running back in this scheme seems to have success. Here's so this. If Grindo is going to be out next week, I think you can pick him up and play him in your flex. I think that's just how good this rushing attack is for the 49ers. Their scheme for running the ball has always been good, and it continues to be good no matter who it is at running back.
I agree. All right, last on the list here, we got Mr. Will Levis. What was his injury designation? I'm not sure exactly what had happened to him.
Because that was an odd one.
Yeah. One thing I want to say about Will Levis I was really disappointed in, they played a Jaguars defense that is the worst in the league. And I truly thought that Will Levis would have a game to show us what he's made of, throw this thing.
Looked terrible.
It was just bad. And to me, it's a matter of what are you going to do next year? You're going to get a high draft pick. Do you cut it off with Will Levis and you're done with him? Do you get a vet or do you draft somebody? I mean, what do you do, Matt, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they kind of – it went kind of under the radar, but they kind of went all in this year. They were kind of pushing their chips in with Will Levis. They signed Tony Pollard. They gave Calvin Ridley a bag. They signed Boyd off of free agency. I don't know what there is to do with Will Levis. He obviously has a great arm. He has the measurables you want for a quarterback in this league. He continues to let the franchise down. And if I was them, I don't know. It's a tough discussion because the quarterback class coming in isn't great. So, like, is there a quarterback coming in this next year that is better than Will Levis? I think that's in question. I think Sanders probably will be, but they're not going to have a high enough pick to get him. So
Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel maybe. But there's a lot of guys that have been in college football for a long time, and you just really don't know. Sanders is the only one that's kind of separated from the bunch. So
Carson Beck?
Well, he seems to get hurt every other game.
Yeah, so, I know.
I don't know. If I was them, I would probably just bolster some other position on the team, give him one more year, and then draft someone with a stronger class. When there's a bad quarterback class coming in, you can take them late in the draft, but wasting a first round pick on them, it doesn't seem to produce good results. I mean, you saw that with Zach Wilson. Everybody thought he was the next coming, and then he was terrible. Mac Jones. There's just plenty of examples as of recently. So I would probably give him one more year. But his injury was a shoulder. He took a hard hit in the game from Josh Allen. So not the Bills Josh Allen, but defensive end Josh Allen. But he got his crap. He got rocked. So we'll see. If it's Mason Rudolph, I think – you play the same people, Pollard and Ridley, and that's about it.
If you play Ridley, dude, geez, about tired of that.
He does get a ton of targets, though. You have to give him that.
What is it, Westbrook, Westbrook Ikhe or something?
Yeah, he finally came back to earth. He was on like a four or five game stretch where he was scoring a touchdown or two every single game. And this guy has like 30 catches on the year and has like 8 touchdowns. Like that touchdown percentage to catch rate is crazy. But I think he finally came back to earth this week, and he again can just go back to the waiver wire with the rest of them.
Yeah, him and Debo. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, that finishes up our lab report for the day. You know, lots of things going on. 6 teams on a bye this week. You'd think the teams didn't play well, but talk about some fantasy output that was just nuts. Right. So we're going to go through our top 5 positions at quarterback, running back, receiver, and tight end through the league for this week. Just so you know out there for our listeners, we are in a half PPR league. So when I say these fantasy stats, it is through half PPR, not that it affects the quarterbacks. But I just wanted to go ahead and introduce our guest today. And I wanted him to kick off with our number one quarterback on the list, because it's none other than Mr. Josh Allen. So if you will welcome Mr. Brevin Bales to the podcast.
How we doing today, boys?
Here he is. Did it work? There he is. There he is.
I'm here. How we doing today, boys? Repping the Bills. Best player in the league, Josh Allen.
Of course this guy comes in here with a Buffalo shirt on.
Bro, someone's got to represent him. We got the Chiefs lover here. I'm tired of this slander. Can't let it keep going on.
That's right. Well, Brevin, we're glad to have you. We're thankful you're here as a Bills fan representing Mr. Josh Allen. You can't go wrong. So let me just give you the stats here, and then I'll let Brevin start us off here today. Josh Allen was 22 from 37, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns in the air, okay, 10 carries, 82 yards on the ground, and 3 touchdowns on the ground. That's 6 touchdowns for one man with 51.88 fantasy points. Brevin, is this guy the MVP?
He's the MVP. There's literally no doubt in my mind. Anyone that says Saquon is just delusional or a hater, it's just there's just no doubt to it at this point. Josh is the first player in NFL history to have 3 rushing and 3 passing touchdowns in the game. And if you look at it this way, Saquon, he makes the Eagles better, but the Eagles are a playoff team without him. The Bills without Josh Allen, mid. Absolutely mid. So he's just unanimous MVP in my eyes. There's no doubt. But let's see what Mr. Matt McDonald has to say about this.
I respect that take, and I could definitely see where you would go with that. Matt, how do you feel about Josh Allen with this game going into MVP conversation?
Okay, I think it's well documented. I am a Buffalo hater, and I'm fine being called that. It's okay. But I was a big Saquon guy coming into this game. It's just – it's hard to deny when a dude puts up 6 touchdowns in a single game. And as much as I hate on Buffalo, Brevin's 100% right. Buffalo would be they might be one of the worst teams in the NFL without Josh Allen on the team. I mean, they've had injuries all over the place on defense, offense, everything. And with Amari Cooper coming to this offense, their passing attack has been good. Shakir looks good. And they're about to get their rookie Coleman back. So it's a dangerous team. They have a tough game coming up next week against the Lions. If they can get past that, I think they can give the Chiefs a real run for the one seed. this week kind of hurts them for that one seed, but they have a lot easier of a schedule after the Lions than the Chiefs do. So we'll see. I mean, if there's one team that can catch us, it's the Bills. Yeah. And they have a ton of – I mean, they have a ton of talent on this team, but I think it's solely because of Josh Allen. And Brevin's right. I can't say that about the Eagles. Now, if Saquon breaks the all-time rushing record, it's going to be a tough fight between them two. But I think Josh Allen has solidified himself as the number one for the MVP race. Now, we'll see. Saquon's got a tough game against Pittsburgh coming up, and then he has an easy schedule. But he has to average like 120 yards a game. So that's going to be tough sledding for the rest of the year. But if he does set the record, it's going to be a toss-up. If Josh Allen beats the Lions next week, though, it might be over. If he has a good game and they beat the Lions, I think he's going to win MVP, and I don't think there's really going to be any argument against it.
What I think is different from Josh in years past is he had those 6 touchdowns and no turnovers whatsoever. He's limited his turnovers this year, and that's really elevated his game up.
That's definitely for sure.
100% correct.
I didn't like Josh Allen just because of the fact that the man would fumble or throw an interception every play, but still get it done. So to take away those interceptions makes him a whole new man. I also wanted to highlight, as we talk about, this game was crazy, right? I mean, 44-42. You'd think with all those stats that Josh Allen had, they win this game. I know, Brevin, you don't want to hear this, but they lost by 2 points to the Rams. My boy Matthew Stafford. Before we jump to some of our guys on the Rams, because they are in our top 5 in running back and receiver, I wanted to ask you, Brevin, I know Amari Cooper, he had 14 targets, right? But he wasn't the leading receiver in this game. It was Mr. Khalil Shakir. Do you really think with Keon Coleman come back that Amari Cooper was a guy that you should invest in fantasy? I mean, is he the top receiver on this team? You know what I mean?
I think he's always that deep threat kind of guy because, as you see, Josh likes to throw the deep balls to him. You've seen that in a few weeks prior. As the leading guy, I wouldn't say so because he throws so consistently to Khalil Shakir, and who consistently catches the passes because he has like, an 80, 95, something up there percentage rate. And just adding Coleman into it just adds another step into that offense. So I feel like if you're needing a flex or something like that, you could always be a viable option with Josh Allen as a quarterback. But as a starting one or two receiver, I just couldn't put myself at that position.
I
kind of had a trade at the beginning of the year with DJ Moore for Amari Cooper when he got sent to the Bills. And I don't think it's worked out for either of us because DJ Moore hasn't been playing too good either. So it's kind of a win-win, lose-lose situation.
That was a mid trade. It didn't help either one of us. But Brevin's right. I think so for fantasy, I think it is Shakir as the one on this offense. But as far as real life football goes, Amari Cooper is definitely the one. He gets so much respect downfield that it's opening the middle for Shakir, and that's where he's gaining all of his catches. And Brevin's right. He does not drop the ball. He catches it through contact. He really reminds me a lot of Julian Edelman. He's just a guy that's going to move the sticks for you, and he takes the punishment. He's going to get hit over that middle every time, and he continues to catch the ball. So he's a really vital part of this offense, and he's produced. I mean, he looks good.
He does.
I think
go ahead, Brett.
Another vital piece to this, and I have someone that's not talked about as much, is Mr. Mac Hollins. He does all the dirty work for the team. He's not always the most glorious, glamorous player, but he gets touchdowns and he does all the dirty work. So he's up there with some receptions.
Mr. Barefoot, dude. Mr. Comes into
down
the game.
To earth kind of guy. We love it. We love to see it.
He has had a few games over 10. I mean, not that it's necessarily he's receiver 70. There's not a guy out there, but just a name to throw out there is Matt Collins for the Bills. For sure, I definitely agree. You'd think James Cook as the lead running back would have been the lead for this team. He wasn't. But speaking of running backs, our number 5 running back in top 5 fantasy was 22.7. Was this Mr. Kyren Williams? Could get it out there. 29 carries, 87 yards. Averaging 3 yards per carry. Not too great on the ground, but he still had 2 touchdowns. I mean, this guy, he's been doing it in and out. There's not much you can say about Kyren Williams. I mean, he's just a dog, especially against this Bills offense. But the guy I really want to talk about, I know we just kind of highlighted him, and I wanted to throw this to you guys. Number 1 for our receivers is Mr. Puka Nacua. What a game from this guy. Had 5 carries, which I thought was insane anyways. 16 yards and a touchdown. 14 targets, 12 receptions, 162 yards and a touchdown. My question to you two is this guy next year in terms of fantasy drafts a top 5 pick when he's healthy?
Yeah, I'll start it out. He's kind of outpaced Cooper Kupp as the one on this offense. Mm-hmm. When they are both healthy, it's going to be Puka. They utilize him in a lot of different ways. You pointed it out. He's rushing the ball in the end zone, in the red zone, I mean. He's being used in the screen game. And then on third down, Puka is the guy who is moving the sticks for them a lot of the time. So, I don't know. The scary part with Puka is the injury risk. I mean, he's in a very, very short span had so many injuries, and it's kind of hurt you if you drafted him high in fantasy. But his upside is so high. I think he's I don't know about top 5, but I think he's at least a top 10 pick. We kind of talked about this on past podcast. I think with how well the running backs have played this year and how down the receivers were at the top of the draft, I think next year it's really going to be a top-heavy draft of those running back ones, and then you can get some of these guys later in the first round as far as the top-tier receivers go. So I think he'll be a top 10 pick, but I think he's going to go in the later rounds of the first round.
Yeah. Brev, how do you feel about Mr. Puka Nacua?
I could agree with Matt that you definitely want to take him above Cooper Kupp in these situations. He's obviously the guy that they're going to. My only concern, like Matt said, was with the injuries. It's kind of like if you're going to draft Christian McCaffrey at the beginning of the draft, you're like, he has so much potential and upside, but can he just stay healthy enough to have that dividend pay off? So I'm like, if you get him in the top 10, maybe even 20, who knows, then I would say you could do that, but I don't know if I'd pick a first or second round pick on him or anything like that.
I think it also matters in terms of who you have next year. I think Matthew Stafford's still on contract, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. So if he can stay healthy too, behind under center, this team looks good. Are they in playoff contention with the win? Yeah,
they're in contention, but it's going to be a tough road. I mean, they're 7-6, so they're going to have a really good end of the season.
I'm pretty sure they had to win out, I think, is what it looked like, at least in terms of just trying to make it. But they can do it, man. I don't know the rest of their schedule, but I definitely know that they can pull it off. All right, next guy on our list for our quarterbacks. I know we jumped around a little bit, but we got a lot of guys in the top 5 at different positions on the same team. Speaking of which, Mr. Sam Darnold is our number 2 quarterback with 34.58 fantasy points. On a normal week, he probably would have been number 1, but Josh Allen just did Josh Allen things. Okay. Sam Darnold was 22 for 28. That's insane to me. Almost perfect, right? What is that? 6 passes away from being perfect. 347 yards, 5 touchdowns. 4 carries for 7 yards. Now, who do those touchdowns go to, you may ask? Well, 3 of them went to Mr. Jordan Addison, number 1 or number 2 in our receivers. That's annoying, number 1 for me, okay? I'll explain why. But then we have Mr. Jay Jetta with 2 touchdowns. They were our second and third receiver for our top 5 fantasy at receivers. It's about time to me. I had Jay Jetta on my team, been watching this guy. He's kind of had some just about 10 every week. And this is his first touchdown in what, 6 games? Is that right?
It's been 2 months since he scored a touchdown. I think it was late October, maybe.
Just crazy. But this team can definitely do it. Jordan Addison's a guy that we had somebody drop him. I don't know if he's been picked up. He may be on our waivers. But
Alex Roden has him.
Okay. Oh, geez. There he is. He's gone. But, boys, talk to me about this. I know you got some stock in the Vikings, Matt. Talk to me about this game in terms of the Vikings, and they looked legit. This was a game that showed me that they got it still.
Yeah, as of recently, the Vikings were winning these games by 2 or 3 points, and you kind of thought they were regressing from their hot start at the beginning of the year. But, I mean, when Sam Darnold's playing like this, these weren't easy throws. He was escaping the pocket. He had pressure in his face. He legitimately looked like a top 10 quarterback this game. And I don't know if he is a top 10 quarterback. I would lean no. But he's played well enough to where he's going to get a bag of money this next coming year. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the Vikings drafted J.J. McCarthy. He's going to be their starter next year. If he's hurt, they signed Daniel Jones as well, so he might play a couple games. Yeah. But Sam Darnold has played his way into a big contract. He's kind of following the route Baker Mayfield did. He had those good games for the Rams, and then he got a chance with the Buccaneers and really made the most of it. And for this guy being slandered his most of his career, every stop he's been at, he's not performed well, which he hasn't got much around him. But now that he has players around him, I think you see the potential Sam Darnold has in this league. And I really hope he goes to a team that values him and has a lot of weapons, because if he has weapons around him, he's proven to be a good quarterback. And with your receivers, I don't think you can be mad at Jay Jettas. He's been consistent. And this game, he had two touchdowns. I know it wasn't three, but he's obviously the best. Him and Ja'Marr Chase, in my opinion, are the best receivers in the league. And they kind of go back and forth. But, I mean, you can't be mad at him. He's going to have at least 10 points. And he gets hyper-targeted. Jordan Addison's kind of a big player, go-home type of guy. So he has big games here and there, but Jay Jettas is going to be the guy that's consistent every single week.
I ride with him. It's my guy. All right, Mr. Brevin, what do you think about this Vikings team, man?
I'm curious. I'm curious how far they can get into the playoffs, because it looked for a while they may have been a fraudulent win team, like, oh, they're barely escaping by, but – I don't know. They've been playing well recently, especially this last week. So I'm just curious how far they could make a push into the playoffs. And if Justin Jefferson is your wide receiver one or something, and 10 is the lowest he's getting, if his bottom is 10, then I think you're doing pretty all right for yourself. But
I appreciate that. You know, I got him for Alvin Kamara, and so far it's panned out. Love having me some Jay Jetta, and my secondary receiver is not as great, so I needed him badly. But I wanted to also touch on this other side here. This has been said a lot, and we may have talked about this last week. Is it time to sit Kirk Cousins? Please. Do you ride it out, you know? You think so?
Dude, he's terrible. I mean, I think we've seen when these old quarterbacks are coming off the Achilles, they just aren't the same guy.
Yeah.
And he within five throws, you give him five throws, three out of the five are good, but the other two are just – they're just moon balls that look like your grandma threw them, and they're getting picked. He's got zero touchdowns and 11 picks in the past five games.
That's crazy. He
looks terrible. And when they're still in contention for this division, and they just got passed up by the Buccaneers. And if this is the quarterback play that you can expect from him from the rest of the season, why not take a chance on Penix? You drafted him for a reason. You want to see what he is. So I know you're going to take a hit to the ego because you gave Kirk Cousins a bunch of money, but is this league not about winning? And at least Penix would give us a chance to have some of these guys besides Bijan have successful days. With how bad Kirk's been playing, Drake London's kind of fallen out. Kyle Pitts is unplayable now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Darnell Mooney had a good game, but other than that, I would just like to see a change of face in there, because Kirk – he looks like he's done.
Yeah. Brev, I mean, how do you feel about – I know you got Drake London. You got some stock in him. How do you feel about Mr. Kirk?
This hurts on two fronts. First off, Kirk Cousins, Michigan State, man of my heart. Love me some Michigan State, fellow Spartan here. But as a Drake London owner, it's kind of bad, especially when I was watching Red Zone and saw, what was it, Darnell Mooney and then someone else doing awesome, and then Drake London gave me like 5 points. He was having targets, but they were either getting intercepted or they were just uncatchable balls. So I would take a chance with Michael Penix Jr. I would sit Kirk Cousins. I have him in my family league, and he got me, I think, 8 points this week. It's just NFC South is always the joke because they're always so bad and mediocre. The Falcons have a good team. They have a truly good offense, at least. I know the Falcons, I believe they were the last team in sacks this season, but they took like 8 in the last two games, so they're getting up there. But it's just sad to see all this potential being wasted because they just want to see the old guy. And then, like Matt said, take a hit on the ego, but I would rather do that and win some games and then just lose out when I have a potential to win the division. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Why not take a shot at getting in the playoffs and just seeing what you got instead of just letting Kirk Cousins ride it out? Now, the stat that you shared, Matt, zero touchdowns and 11 interceptions, to me, any other team that had this situation would sit the guy. I personally think.
Dude, it's our there's a handful of guys in this league that can have that stat line and remain the starter. Like, you've got the top five guys, obviously. Patrick, Josh Allen, Lamar, Burrow. You're going to keep those guys starting no matter their play, unless they got hurt, obviously. But when you're a team fighting for the division lead, and they would host a playoff game if they won this division, I just don't see how you can't. I mean, at least do one game. Just see what he is. If he sucks, put Kirk back in. It's just Kirk's the type of guy that I think would – I mean, he understands he's playing bad. He's a good guy. I don't think he's going to be an Aaron Rodgers and ruin the locker room. I just think you should give him a chance because they are not explosive. He's throwing a bunch of yards, but they're meaningless yards. They're in garbage time, and they're just not worth anything. So I would start him, but that's just – I know I'm not a GM, so I'll let that be their decision.
If you were, though, I know what you'd do at least.
Dude, I'd have them leading the division. I'll tell you that.
Attaboy.
What's your thoughts on this, Alex?
I feel like I have a little bit of a different approach. I mean, I understand why you would sit Kirk Cousins and put in Michael Penix because it's your future. But also at the same time, I was listening to this a podcast earlier today. If Michael Penix gets hurt, you're stuck with Kirk Cousins next year, right? So it's like, why not ride it out with him? There's also the side of you start Michael Penix, and this guy's trash. He just goes out there, and he's garbage. And then again, you're stuck with Kirk Cousins, and then you just look bad as a team anyways. So they're kind of in a weird spot right now where Kirk Cousins is your vet. You kind of want to see if he can do it. But in my opinion, it kind of is like a 50-50. I want to lean more towards sit him because it's just been bad. You're losing games at this point. You're just throwing it away because you want a guy in that you paid. So I'm kind of in the middle, but I'm leaning more towards sitting Kirk Cousins. Just see what you got. You know what I mean? He's the quarterback of your future.
Well, dude, they spent a top 15 pick on Penix, and they could use a top 15 pick on their defense right now. And
yeah.
I mean, if you drafted Penix, you need to play him because you wasted a pick there basically. When you're in contention to win this division, if they weren't in contention to win the division, I'd be fine. Just let Kirk ride it out. But if you're truly trying to win football games, you need to try your best to win. I don't know why you wouldn't. And I don't think Kirk is the answer on winning games.
That's fair. They've got such a good offense. It's like, why waste it right now? You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. He had 347 yards and didn't do much with it. I wouldn't say that about Mr. Kirk out there. So,
well, let me ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're the Colts, you're in a similar situation because they have sat and started Joe Flacco over Anthony Richardson a few times, and they're a team that's in the hunt. I believe they're a game or two behind, but they're in the hunt. They could possibly have a playoff chance. Do you think they're doing the right thing by starting Anthony Richardson and letting him grow and progress, even though he's been playing kind of trashy as well? Or what do you think on that?
I had to share in Anthony Richardson. I was hyped about this boy playing at the beginning of the year. Huge fan of him. But it was really bad for the first, six games. But he turned it around kind of when he came back and looked a lot better. I think it was good for him that they set him. And so he's been playing better at least. So in my opinion, I think it's good that they continue to start him just because he is also the quarterback of their future. Joe Flacco is just a guy that if he gets hurt, you got him and he can at least win you a game. So I think they're at least trying to invest in what they have in the future, you know? How do you feel about that, Matt? I know you're not a big Anthony Richardson guy. So
yeah, I wasn't a fan of him, but I was really impressed him coming back from the benching. He kind of took it on the chin like a man and came back and played better.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that wasn't completing many passes. He came back from the benching and he was a lot better in the completion percentage. And I would understand it because Brevin's right, they are in playoff contention. So if Joe Flacco came in there and he was just lighting it up like he did last year with the Browns, I would understand keeping him in, but Joe Flacco did not play well. He is not mobile anymore, so really all he has is the big arm, and he was throwing a lot of picks. So if you're going to throw the picks anyways, put in the young guy who can learn from the experience. And Richardson also offers an explosive element on the rushing. So I like keeping Richardson in. I just think he offers a different element to this offense than Joe Flacco does.
Yeah. Brad, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I'd agree. I knew they were just in a sort of similar situation with the Falcons being on the playoff potential with an older quarterback. But I agree. You want to see Anthony Richardson develop, and he's been playing a lot better than he was when he previously got benched. He's been making explosive plays, and he's just been looking a lot better out there. So,
I'm with you. All right. Speaking of mobile quarterbacks with Mr. Anthony Richardson, we've got the Jalen Hurts as our number three quarterback on the list. 24.22. He really didn't play that well, to be honest. So when I saw him on our top five, I was kind of like, really? That kind of shocked me. He had 108 yards, two touchdowns, eight carries, 59 yards, and a touchdown. You know, Matt, we talked about this in other podcasts. When you have a rushing upside, it just makes you such a better quarterback, which is you like and you don't like as a fantasy player. But, I mean, why is he in our top five, right? I mean, this guy didn't do much.
I'll tell you why. It's the tush push. And I hate it. I hate it with my whole heart. Saquon deserves those touchdowns, and they just give it to the tush push every time. Yeah. But you're right. Jalen Hurts did not play well. This is four games in a row where he's had under 200 yards passing. And some of that has to do with him just not playing great as far as the passing offense goes. But another part of that is Saquon is so good in this offense that they just don't need to throw the ball. They're just running the ball. But I think this year you have definitely seen Jalen Hurts' kind of capabilities as far as the passing game goes. He has a ceiling. And if you're an A.J. Brown owner or Devontae Smith owner, it's not good to see that. I mean, he's, like I said, four games under 200 passing yards. That's not going to turn into great results for the two top wide receiver options on this team. And after the game, A.J. Brown was he was upset. And this was a team that was 11-1 last year, and then they just lost like 6 of 7. So if A.J. Brown continues to throw a fit like this and the offense, as far as the passing game goes, continues to struggle, this could be a situation where they go against a good rushing attack and or a good rush defense, I should say, and they just struggle to move the ball. So I definitely think it's something to watch because when you're – what did he pass for, 108? Yeah, when you're passing for 108 yards against the Panthers, something ain't right. And A.J. Brown was open a lot of the game, and Jalen Hurts just refused to pass it to him. Four targets for one of the best receivers in the league, it shouldn't happen. Yeah. So I would look at that going – I mean, he's still going to be fine fantasy because of the stupid tush push, but – as far as the passing game goes, this downgrades the Eagles wide receivers for sure until they figure this out because the passing game looks terrible.
Yeah. Brave, you got anything on that one?
I hate the tush push. I hate it for football, but for fantasy, I have Jalen Hurts, so I obviously love it for that aspect. Saquon's kind of taken away some of Jalen Hurts' goal line touches and – I mean, that's okay. He's still getting me 20-something points a game, even without those passing yards, because he, like Matt said, he rushes in tush-push. I believe he had so many points because he had a rushing touchdown and because he had, like, a 40- or 50-yard run in, like, garbage time of the game almost. So he just – he remains relevant in fantasy, but I could understand why A.J. Brown would be upset about that. Kind of reminds me of a Stephon Diggs situation in Buffalo, Diva situation, but I feel like he's more justified there than Stephon Diggs was in Buffalo. But.
Yeah. Is this a contract year for A.J. Brown?
No, they just signed him. That's what's so weird about it is they signed him to a long extension, and he's – I mean, he was visibly upset. Like he was, and he made it public after the game in the interview. He was pretty much trashing Jalen Hurts. So
I don't know.
It's something to watch. I have AJ Brown, so it obviously sucks. But maybe this will turn into Jalen Hurts just peppering AJ to make him happy again. I mean, that worked with Stephon Diggs. You throw him the ball a ton, and they've got to be happy. So hopefully that happens in these upcoming weeks.
I think last year he kind of set out. Because he was frustrated, I'm pretty sure. So it's the same situation. So clearly they got to do something different. And to me, in football, if you have a guy that – I think I love how the Vikings use Justin Jefferson. You have a number – it's same thing with Jamar Chase. You have a number one receiver, get him the ball. Move him all over the field. Put him everywhere. Make people guard him. And I just don't understand why the Eagles don't do that with A.J. Brown because he really is elite. He catches the ball well. He's big. He's fast. He's a legit receiver. So I don't understand it. So hopefully that does change. But number four on our list, don't really want to say this guy's name, Tua Tagovailoa. The reason is because he's failed me all year. Number one, with concussions, I have Tyreek Hill on my team. And the one time I put in George Pickens, who's out, Tyreek Hill's sitting on my bench with 23 fantasy points. But anyways, Tua had a decent game, 33 of 47, 331 yards, two touchdowns, 1 2-point conversion, and he had a carry for 3 yards. Is it time to again believe in Tua? I wanted to ask you guys that. I mean, I've been up and down with this team. They looked really good against a good defense in the Jets. I know it went into overtime. And I'll throw out there real quick our number five tight end. It was all garbage. It was only in overtime he got anything. But he had 3 for 4, 44 yards, and a touchdown. But anyways, how do you guys think it's time to believe in the Dolphins and Tua?
I'll let Brevin start since that's a division team.
And if I was hoping they would tie that game. AFC East teams, I'd hope they lose every game. I was really rooting for the Jets to beat the Dolphins here. But I believe that you could believe in them a little bit. Tua's been looking better since he's played a little bit since his injury against us. And he's been slinging that ball. Jalen Waddle has been a big benefactor of that. He's been having good weeks every week. Tyreek, I'm not too sure. I don't have him. But I'm sure he's been flexible a little bit, you know. But Johnny Smith, he's been playing well, even though all of his came in overtime, garbage time. But they've been looking like a solid team, maybe a sneak in the wild card to beat a team that's secured another spot. But they'd just be a sneaky good team, I think, if they could make the playoffs. So I'm just really hoping that that doesn't happen. But
if it's cold, you're good, though.
If it's cold, you're good. You don't have to worry.
Yeah, they have a really tough stretch here. The competition's not hard, but they really needed to beat Green Bay 2 weeks ago to have any chance at the playoffs. So they basically have to win out and just hope that 9 games gets you in. But a 9-7 record is very unlikely to get them in the playoffs. But putting that aside, since Tua's came back, he's thrown for about 300 yards or around there every single game. And Brevin's right. Jalen Waddle's had a terrible season, and if you drafted him, it feels terrible. But these past couple weeks, he's been lighting up offenses and this or defenses, and this is kind of what you expected coming into the season. But when you're getting this many targets to Waddle and Tyreek, they're going to produce. And you're right, Jonnu Smith. He's been fantastic this year. He's going to continue to be a great tight end. And then Devon Achane, he's just a weird one. He's not good in the rushing attack. He averaged 1.7 yards a carry this game, but he's just so good in the passing game, and he's so utilized in the red zone that he puts up crazy numbers every single week. So I think this is a team that you can play their players for fantasy, but it's going to be a really tough road to get them to the playoffs. So I wouldn't be worried about them because I don't think they're going to make it. But you never know. It's the NFL.
It can all turn around fast, yeah. I want Tua to succeed just in terms of Tyreek Hill's upside. The guy is – I would more consistently want to play Tyreek than I would Jalen Waddle. Even though Jalen Waddle really has had some success these last few games, Tyreek Hill finally kind of looks like he's coming back to life. 14 targets, 10 receptions, 115 yards, and a touchdown. So for those of us who have drafted Tyreek Hill, I think there's at least hope in terms of the rest of the season. That's what I'm believing. All right, now you never know, but I don't think Sauce Gardner didn't play in this game. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure he was out.
No, so that's a big part. Hamstring injury.
Yeah, so a big part of why I think they did well in terms of receiving, but still, you like to see it.
All right, could you begin to trust Aaron Rodgers more? This is the first time he's thrown for over 300 yards since 2021. Is he on the upside? Who knows.
I know this guy's a guest on our podcast, but I don't want to hear Aaron Rodgers' name. He's terrible.
Matt is an avid Aaron Rodgers hater. We could never have him on the pod from what he's previously said about the guy. It's never possible. So
I love Josh Allen compared to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, dude, get him out of the league. I'm tired of seeing him. I'm glad
this is 41. He needs to get out.
Dude. I mean, putting my biases away, I'm happy he had a good game. He had looked terrible all year. This is like his first game. I don't know what the stat was. It was like 2 years where he threw over 300 yards. So you got to be happy.
2021, I believe.
Yeah, you got to be happy for them as far as that aspect goes, but they don't have anything to play for besides just his ego. So I don't see this ending well for the Jets players, but their receivers finally had a good game together. So, I mean, you got to be happy about that if you played them.
Yeah. I did really quickly want to. What'd you say? Sorry, Brev.
The New York Packers is what they are at this point with as many Packers players he's brought over.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I did want to throw out a name there, Isaiah Davis. If Breece Hall has continued to be out, he's kind of like a deeper pickup. Braylon Allen didn't really look as good, but Isaiah Davis kind of turned around and was the lead back in terms of fantasy points for this team. All right, last quarterback on the list, and this covers a lot of guys on our top five. Mr. Brock Purdy, 22.1 fantasy points. He kind of really had a good game, and so you'd think that means, oh, you know, Deebo Samuel, their number one receiver, popped off. But no, it was Mr. Juwan Jennings, our number four receiver on the list with 24.5 fantasy points. A guy that's just been doing what he does, balling out. And then that also includes our number two running back on the list, 25.8, Isaac Garendo, who is hurt, which sucked, but he got a lot of that work in the front half. I think any of us could run behind this line. So, 20 for 25, 325 yards, two touchdowns for Mr. Brock Purdy. What do we think about this game, boys? How do we feel about Juwan Jennings? I mean, a steal, really a league winner almost in some ways.
Yeah, he's gonna be great coming into the playoffs. Deebo is just not the same player. So we were talking about this early. I think he's truly a drop candidate, and you can let someone pick him up off waivers and play him, and then that he'll lose him their week. He has just been terrible. What made him so good is he broke so many tackles. It looks like my grandma could tackle him right now. He goes down when first contact happens. And I have him in another league, so this commentary is coming from a hateful place, but he looks terrible. Going to the better players, Juwan Jennings, I think he's going to win you a league. He's fantastic. Isaac Garendo, if he can play next week, automatic play. I think he'll be a running back one if he is healthy. And then I know Brevin's happy about it. What more can you say about George Kittle?
Yeah, number one tight end.
Yeah, if Brock Purdy's healthy, George Kittle's going to have a fantastic day. And with Deebo not playing well, with Ayuk out, with Christian McCaffrey out, Kittle and Jennings are going to be the main benefactors. And then you can just add Garendo in there. And then Brock Purdy might be a streaming quarterback. It just worries me. This Bears team, although I thought it might be a good team this year, they're not. So I wouldn't make too much fuss about this big game they had. When they play tougher competition, I don't know if the offense will continue to look like this. But George Kittle, Jennings, and Isaac Garendo, you can play them without any worry.
Yeah. How do you feel about George Kittle, Mr. Brevin? Number one tight end.
As a fantasy owner, you just got to love it. He had me 20, mid-high 20-something points. If he's up there with Juwan Jennings for receptions, then you got to be happy as a fantasy owner because he's going to get you those points, those catches. He's a big guy. He gets you those yards after. Matt said a lot of it, but just as an owner, you just got to be happy for it.
But. Yeah. I'm not really – I don't really necessarily have an NFL team that I tie to, but I really want this 49ers team to at least do decent. You know, I know Matt doesn't really like that in terms of they were your competitors. But I like to see them succeed. With all these injuries, I love that Juwan – it's kind of like the underdogs right now to me in terms of the people they have. They got a bunch of nobodies other than George Kittle. You know, even Brock Purdy to me is a nobody. And they're doing it. They're figuring it out. Better wins than the Kansas City Chiefs, honestly, in terms of
we literally beat them. We waxed them. So I don't want to hear that.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
If there's one guy that can talk crap to me, it's the guy on the bottom here because the Bills beat us. But I don't want to hear it from anybody else.
That's fair. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'd rather see the Dolphins and the Jets and the Patriots in the playoffs than listen to a Chris Collinsworth announce a Sunday night Chiefs game. That is the most unbearable thing you could ever listen to.
That's fair. Dude,
he loves my boy Mahomes.
He loves Mahomes.
It don't matter if he's throwing it out of bounds. That's a great throwaway. That's a fantastic throwaway.
I've seen games he's commenting on. The Chiefs haven't even played that day. He's like, that looks like a little bit of Patrick Mahomes right there. This guy's not even playing.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that. There's no doubt about it.
Just got to hate the best out there, I guess, right? It's like Bama. Old Bama. Anyways.
They didn't make the playoffs, did they?
No, can't stand them.
I've been telling you, Big Ten is better than the SEC. That's just a fact.
Get that out of here, dude.
I don't know about that now. I don't know about that. That's a whole other conversation for another day. Last guy on our list. I don't know if he still is number four. Actually, he would move up in our list at this point. Ja'Marr Chase, who has 27 fantasy points right now. He had 23.3 when I looked. He's kind of having a day today. Guy's a dog. Number one receiver out there. He's a unit. That game is 20-20. 2 minutes left, and the Cowboys had the ball. Who you got winning, boys? Real quick prediction.
I'd say the Cowboys with how the Bengals just can't win a game this season.
That's fair. Cooper Rush, baby.
The Bengals defense has to be studied on how bad it is. When their offense has put, what, 6-plus games of over 30 points, and they have the record they do, that I don't know how their DC is still employed. I know he's been with the team a long time, but geez Louise, how long do you let the slaughtering go?
Something's got to change.
If Cooper Rush leads the Cowboys on a game-winning drive here, get rid of him. Fire him. Because Cooper Rush is doo-doo.
Chill. He's not that bad. He's what, 14? Okay, all right, he's not good. Now they look at his stats. 14 for 28, 162 touchdowns and interceptions. That's not that great. But
I was watching the game before the pod, and do you want to know? I'll give you a little question here.
Yeah.
What do you think the longest pass Cooper Rush has thrown this year is? Like a completed pass. How long do you think it was?
I'm going to say 12.
I want to give him the upper hand here, 45 yards.
16 yards. Wow. You're telling me that is a good quarterback? Dude, it's terrible.
That's pretty bad. 16 yards. Yeah. I feel like all three of us could throw 16 yards at least to get a pass completion. That's crazy. Wow.
I don't know if you can see over the offensive line, but Matt and I would be just fine.
This guy. You know what? We're going to let Brevin go today. No, I'm just kidding. Jeez. Invite this guy on. All right. We got a few more guys. I don't even want to talk about the tight ends. I'm going to be real. Okay. Tight ends this year has just been bad, but I'll run through them real quick. David Njoku was our number two. Ridiculous. Jameis Winston, love the guy. He's been balling. Then we got Juwan Johnson with Taysom Hill out. And our number four on that list, Pat Freiermuth. A guy you can be really playing, I think, with Russell Wilson at quarterback. He hadn't been doing too bad. The biggest thing here is I wanted to talk about these running backs. We've got three guys on this list. Two of them, they just made my week, hands down. Made my week better. Number one on our list, who you think it is? Who you think's our number one? I know Matt knows, but Brevin, who's our number one on the list? Give me a guess here.
I feel like it'd be Josh Jacobs. It has to be.
He's up there. But his name is Zach Charbonnet. Give me a glass of Charbonnet, man. This guy was fantastic. 22 carries, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 for 7, and 59 yards against the Cardinals. I knew this guy would ball out because every time Kenneth Walker's been out, he's at least had 15 fantasy points or more. This offense is electric, and they get him the ball if it's on the ground or in the air. And I know Matt's fuming right now. I know he is. I can see it. And that's because he had the guy. So, Matt, I'm going to throw this to you first. Talk about Zach Charbonnet. You know him well.
Yeah, great player, great player. Early in the season when Kenneth Walker was hurt, he was going off, and yeah. I literally tried to trade him to every single, including this guy in the bottom here. I tried to trade him to every single person in our league because if Kenneth Walker ever got hurt, he has the potential to just go off like he did this week. And I've held him all season, and I dropped him last week because I needed a backup defense. So anyways, that kind of tells you those insurance running backs, they are really important. And Braylon Allen was another one of them. I picked him up because Breece Hall was out. Breece Hall played through an injury for some reason. And then I dropped him because I thought Breece was going to play. And then Braylon Allen, what do you know? He's the starter. Now, he didn't look great, but it goes to show you that late in the season, these running backs can get hurt. or tend to get hurt because of how much workload is put on them. So these insurance running backs are very important. With the Chiefs, for example, if Pacheco, if he ramps up his workload and gets hurt again, Kareem Hunt is going to be the guy. With Buffalo, if James Cook gets hurt, I think you've seen those backups down there. Ty Johnson had a big game against the Rams. And if they do get hurt, these insurance running backs can win you a week, and especially if they have the talent that Charbonnet does. So if you picked him up, you've got to be ecstatic. He had a great week. He's so involved in the passing game, and that's what really bolsters his fantasy production.
Sorry, I blanked out. I'm looking at the stat. Jamar Chase has got a touchdown, 26-20. This guy's at 28 fantasy points. Dude's a dog. Dude's just
balling. I think if you take out the Bengals record, you could have Joey B as one of the MVP talks. But with their record, it's just hard. It's just hard to have him up there.
Yeah. Well, the Bengals are going to win this thing, I guess, then. But I definitely agree. Joey B's been balling this year. We didn't think he would exactly, but he definitely is. All right. We got two more names on this running back list. One of them, Brevin mentioned earlier, Josh Jacobs. Matt, ever since you donned the words, Josh Jacobs is going to do nothing but go up. What has he done? Exactly that. So I appreciate Matt for doing that. I got rid of – who did I send? I think I sent away Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs. Boy, what a trade.
That was the biggest fleece known to man.
At the time, it looked legit, but
– No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Etienne looked bad all season.
He did, yeah. But, you know – sometimes you just got to be a good salesman. Josh Jacobs is my guy. Three touchdowns, 24.6 fantasy points. The Packers are legit. I appreciate the Packers as a whole. They're letting that man run. So only bit downside is injury, you know. But
I will say the success of Josh Jacobs has really affected these wide receivers. You saw it last week. Besides Watson, none of these receivers had a good day, and it really sucks. Especially if you have any of the Packers receivers, but it also affects Jordan Love. He was throwing the ball a ton, and now with the success they're having on the ground, they are running it a lot more. So that's something to look towards. The Packers, I saw today, they have one of the easiest schedules remaining for receivers. So I wouldn't go away from them completely. But if Josh Jacobs is, if he continues to be the focal point of this offense, it's definitely going to hurt those receivers.
Yeah. Jaden Reed was, I think it was, had zero.
Yeah. It basically lost me my week in Dynasty. It's terrible. He's such a good player. They literally did not throw the ball to him, and it's so frustrating, but I'm happy for you because Jacobs he's going off.
I appreciate that. Jaden Reed, poor guy.
That trade was a fleece. You fleece that guy every year with a trade, every single year.
He's my supplier.
From trades next year.
Yeah, we're gonna have to outlaw trades between you two because it is crap.
My supplier, man, I can't get rid of him. All right, I'm just gonna mention this last name at number four because it's Rashad White, and who really cares? But before we go, I wanted to do this because we have the opportunity of a lifetime. We have Brevin Bales on the podcast. Brevin, why are the Bills gonna make the Super Bowl this year?
What can I say? If we don't, I'm just going to blame our defense. Matt Milano came back, and he's been looking pretty poor since. I understand he's been out for a while. Got to warm up. But our offense is hot, man. Like, that Rams game was a lot of fun to watch. We were having a shootout. I think, honestly, the biggest point of turn in that game was whenever they blocked our punt and ran it back. Otherwise, we'd be up in that game, possibly walk away with the win. But I just think with Josh Allen having a phenomenal season, yes, he is, our added wide receiver weapons, our three-headed dragon of the running backs. I just think that we could just have the potential to take it over the top. Obviously, it's nice to play in Buffalo, but I know we may have to travel if we have to stay in the two seed. But I think we have the Chiefs number. You know, we're the only team that beat them. Patrick Mahomo can't keep up with Josh Allen, so it's just – they're the biggest frauds in the NFL. I say it every week. The Chiefs, they don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl. They're third in odds to make the Super Bowl right now. But I just see the Bills or the Steelers making it out of the AFC. No one, yeah. But,
I could see that point. On the counterpart here, I guess we should give Matt just a little bit of time. Matt, why are the Chiefs going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Huh? Okay, I was going to be complimentary of the Bills, and then he threw in that last little bit. But I'll be honest here. If there's a team I'm worried about in the AFC, it's definitely the Bills. If you look at the Chiefs games, the games we struggle with are against mobile quarterbacks. And I don't think there is a more mobile quarterback than Josh Allen. He offers so much with his legs that he really can just take over a game. And when you rush the ball for three touchdowns, I know a couple of them were tush pushes, but he ran the ball for like 80-something yards. So it's not all tush pushes. He's really good on the ground. So I really think I think the Chiefs are obviously going to make the Super Bowl. Having the one seed is just such a benefit in the playoffs because you don't have to travel. The Chiefs are used to playing in cold weather, so they're going to be used to the climate. But if there's a team that I'm worried about, it's definitely the Bills. I think the Steelers, they have a ceiling on them. I just don't think Russell Wilson is the quarterback he's looked like these last couple weeks. I think if he plays a really good defense like the Chiefs have, and the Bills do have a good outdoor defense. I know they just got lit up, but they have a decent defense, and if Milano can get back to health, he's a really good player. So I expect to see the Bills in the championship game against the Chiefs, and I'm going to say that we pulled out very close game like it has been all year. But I just think the Bills kind of are a different team in the playoffs. They tend to kind of become a team they weren't during the regular season. But I think they have the potential to get to the Super Bowl, as much as it hurts my heart to say. But I'm going to trust – I mean, we have the best coach in the league, the best – quarterback, in my opinion. I know he's a Josh Allen fan. Between the two teams, we have the number one quarterback and number two quarterback, and you can argue between the two, but I think it's going to be those two guys in the championship game, and it's honestly a coin flip. I'm going to trust in the Chiefs, but I could obviously see the Bills making it as well. I think the AFC is definitely going to win the Super Bowl. Between the Bills and the Chiefs, they're better than the NFC has to offer, so one of them is going to win the Super Bowl. I just hope it's the Chiefs. But if it's the Bills, I'll congratulate Brevin.
As much as I give Matt crap about the Chiefs, it's always a fun time. Whenever these two quarterbacks match up, you know it's going to be a classic game. It's never been like a blowout. It's always a competitive game. So it's just always fun to see. And the Chiefs are a really good team, so it'd just be fun to see that in the AFC Championship once again. Obviously, it'd probably come down to the wire, but we'll just see what happens. I know that one of the two teams will be in the AFC Championship. But
yeah. I will say, if the Rams make it, they're a scary team.
When that team
is healthy, they are fantastic. So I don't want to see them make it to the Super Bowl, because that's a scary team to go against.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They are scary. Don't they have Jared Verse? He's been out there balling.
Dude, that guy's got it. He's got to be the rookie. I mean, defensive rookie of the year for sure. But
Bo Nix, baby. You know, I'm riding with
him. I'm a Brock Bowers guy. I think he's played great all year. But with the quarterback getting hurt, I could definitely see Bo Nix winning it, because Brock Bowers' production is surely going to go down with Ritter at quarterback, which we didn't mention that. But Brock Bowers, that sucks going into the playoffs. Losing both starting quarterbacks, that really sucks for him.
He's a dog, my boy Brock, baby. Stick him. But anyways, it has been a pleasure to have Mr. Brevin today. Hopefully, we'll have you back again sometime soon. Right?
Yeah. I appreciate it, boys. Hopefully, come back sometime soon. Talk more about Josh Allen and the Bills. But
we'll definitely have you on. We should be here Thursday. Avery hadn't been around here in a while. You never know if he'll ever come back. I know this guy's so busy. He's out there cleaning teeth, flossing, all types of stuff. So we'll see how that goes. Here we can get him back here. But pleasure to have you today, Brev. And as always, thanks for joining Takeology, and we will see you again. Hopefully we can get two in this week. Who knows? We're busy men. You know, we're always working, making money, right? You know, it's what we do. But we won't end with Christmas. We'll end with our usual rock outro here. Go Bills. We'll see if they do it. Y'all have a good rest of your week.